Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I have been saying for years and years and years that I've got a couple of favorites when it comes to tenors, and that's a tough job when you love gospel music to narrow it down maybe to two that are your favorites. But he's in my top two right here, this guy. And I always say over and over and over, and I borrowed the phrase from Bill Gaither, I don't remember, but great Irish tenor sound of Larry Ford, and here he is with us now.
Does it always have to be from Ireland, though, that the tenors count?
You know, that's true. I don't know. It's something about it, though. It's something about that rich sound that you possess in particular, and that stands out. But man, I have been a fan for, and I don't want to make you sound old, but for years and years. And I know I probably have to credit the Gaither.
If you don't want me to sound old, quit saying years and years and all those expletives. Of yearing, you know, I tell you, I'm old.
Oh man! Well, I grew up. This is kind of funny. It sounds funny even for me to say this, but I really did grow up on the Gaither videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up on before the Gaither videos, listening to gospel music. But I really got a big dose of history when those things came out, and it was like a history lesson. And even Larry Ford. Okay, I mean, I meet you through the videos, and I fall in love with your sound through the videos. But even until just recently, didn't even fully understand your full history, which is why I'm glad that we're talking to you today, because we really have an opportunity to talk about the Dixie Echoes and talk about your quartet years and then into your solo years. So first of all,
ancient history now, Daniel.
Oh boy, well, hey, I'm ready to go there if you are.
Started out back in the late '60s, actually. Because during that time, I was introduced to some people in Tennessee. Their name, well, everybody who has been around for any length of time will know Ann Downing and the Downings.
Yeah.
And I sang solos with them for a while. And then I left that, went back to doing other things, and then came back to gospel music through the Dixie Echoes. And really wasn't intending on getting into the music industry, but they offered me they offered me a salary.
Oh wow.
Money, you see. Yes. And I could not only do what I love to do but get paid for it, you know. I didn't have to leave a great job. I wasn't unemployed, but I wasn't greatly employed at that particular time. So I did take the job away from another situation that I was up north doing. But then I came home and they invited me to go to Birmingham, Alabama, and I went and listened to them sing, and then Joe Whitfield, who has since passed on, invited me to come down to their music store in Pensacola after that. And we all sang together, and it was Dale Shelnut, Ken Turner, Joe Whitfield, even Randy Dale, I think, was there playing the guitar, bass, whatever, I'm not sure. And that was the beginnings of gospel music, and I sang about 66 programs on the Gospel Singing Jubilee.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I left, and as I got married, figured out I really would like to raise a family, and they offered me a spot on the Jubilee again, and I said, no, guys, I'm going to pastor for a while. So I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And that's history before Gaither.
Once I was bound by sin's calling, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Torments, freedom from from care with all of its pain. Freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer. He who has read my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I recline. Jesus the glorious, immense.
Childhood. Let's even start there. Well, since you started with Ann Downing, what kind of year frame are we talking about here? What decade are we talking about?
The Downings were 1968.
Okay.
And the people there during that time was Sue Dodge, so that's how we knew her.
Yeah.
And Donnie McGuire.
Yeah.
And Paul Downing. And there was Ann, of course. And there was another fellow by the name of Wayne Hilliard. Wayne now sings with his own family group called Higher Ground, and a lot of church ministries for them. I haven't seen Wayne in a long, long time, but I met a wife, and she was singing at the time with a group called the Sammy Hall Singers.
Yeah.
They came to Pensacola, sang. I met her, and it was love at first sight. Yes. Anyway, we married several months later. I left and we went on the road, and then I took a ministry, pastorate ministry,
right,
Jacksonville, Florida.
Now, we say Irish tenor, and obviously, I guess there is some, there's a heritage there. Is for some people, their makeup, their heritage is just, it's on paper and that's about it, you know, and they reference it in words, but. What about yours? I mean, did you really have...
No, my father, of course,
touch.
Ford is the family name, and that was an Irish-English name, all of them mostly from the northern part of Ireland, up in a little place called County Down. And then the history goes back with my mother's side. Her maiden name was Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y.
Yeah.
And, of course, they all came from the Republic, the whole clan, and if you won't find a Kennedy... who isn't associated somehow with the people in Southern Ireland.
Yeah.
We've been there. We know who our heritage is.
Yeah.
We've traced them back. They all came to the United States many, many years ago, and I had a big, tall Irish granddad, the name of Kennedy. And he had a real high voice. He said it was a good thing he was very tall and very big because he had to fight his way out of a lot of arguments.
Right. So... I saw a PB, and you asked this question, do they all have to be from Ireland? Okay, well, I saw this PBS public broadcasting special on music and early forms of American music. And to be honest, what I was hearing sounded a lot with like bluegrass type influences it sounded like this, but it was really these Irish sounds that were coming over and being integrated into, maybe Southern America here. And so there's something very, very rich about the music from Ireland. How do you reconcile the two, Southern gospel and then your Irish heritage? I mean, have you connected the dots in a lot of places?
The hill country music was something that's identifiable with the Irish heritage.
Yeah.
And it was the bluegrass sound, of course. And that's what I grew up on as a kid, although I never really sang it. My family did. My granddads, both sides, they were into very much into the hill country music, bluegrass, mountain music, and it was all fiddles, violins. But there were instruments, and there were identifications that came across that I think were more subtle. One of them was the harmonies. We don't recognize that as much today, but the harmonies of that hill country and the bluegrass sound is something that flows right into our heritage very quickly, easily. When you hear it, there's something, I hate to use the word haunting, but it is.
Yeah.
It goes back into your mind and to your genes, I think, you know.
Wow.
And really identifies with who you are.
And the date of this taping is just after St. Patrick's Day,
nice. 2002.
Yeah, and in fact, we delayed our taping because you had a lot of festivities, and of course, it's a big day for anyone who has green in their blood. So, so how do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
You know, I do a lot of different things. I go to churches and sing Danny Boy, but
yeah.
We were home for this weekend, and I get a call from one of my boys who's into music, and he said, "Dad, This place I'm out, they're wanting me to do Irish music, and I did some, but they wanted more. I've run out. I need some help." So I jumped in the car. I threw my stuff in the car, and we raced out to where he was in a place, if you can believe this, called Kelly's Green.
Oh, yeah.
And we went out to Kelly's, and we unloaded and hurried in and helped set up, and we did about 30, 40 minutes of Irish music for him there.
Oh,
so that's what we did.
Yeah.
I sometimes go to Dublin, Georgia. And
yeah.
I sometimes go, but we were this year going to go to Ireland, but we didn't get a chance to because a lot of things took a different turn. In fact, in just a few days, we're leaving for South Africa.
Yeah.
And all of that precluded and kept us from making our yearly journey. We had been there last year to Ireland and paid our tributes. And we're going back and take a tour. People have asked us about going with us to Ireland. So that's what we're going to do next time.
I remember sitting down with Ann Downing, and we were talking about her history and the Downings, and your name came up several times. Hmm. And so it's good we're talking about her first and the Downings. That gave you your first taste and your first, I guess, indoctrination into not the music necessarily, but the professional side of the music, I guess you'd say, right?
Part of it. You know, there's a part of this that I don't talk about too much, but I look back through the years, one of the persons that had a pretty profound influence on me musically was Rosie Roselle.
Yeah.
And I told this on a video one time when we were talking to Bill. I had gone out west and was singing, and I rode back to my hometown with Rosie Roselle and the Searchers. I don't know whether you've ever heard that name or not. Rosie had a group of his own, and they sang. Well, I rode back home with them. And I knew them. They were friends. And he had wanted me to sing with them. In fact, in later years, offered me a job, and I declined. I was looking to do other things. And I eventually ended up with the Downings instead of Rosie. And then I went, as Rosie recommended me. People don't know this, but Rosie recommended me to Joe Whitfield to sing with the Dixie Echoes. And so Joe called me, telling that Rosie had contacted him and they were looking for someone, and I took the job. Mm. So that was my professional beginnings with gospel music.
Yeah. And the Dixie Echoes, their latest project is just amazing, the way they've held on. You know, there are sometimes you can try to hold on to the past, but it comes across as kind of, I have to be careful I say this, sometimes it's just a cheap imitation of the past. But the Dixie Echoes have done
not
something. No, it is genuine and authentic, and it is you can tell they love what they do.
I don't think with Randy and the guys that it's an attempt. I think it is a simple display of who they are.
Yeah.
Not just an identification with the past. It's something that they're saying about who we are today.
Right.
And it is not just a direct reflection of something else. It is the real thing. It is that part of gospel music that's still alive.
So what were fond memories of you with the Dixie Echoes? And by the way, how many years were you there?
I was there for 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
And the fond memories, and my wife and I were just putting this all together. We were trying to put some history through photos and various other things, but someone asked me to do a article for the Homecoming magazine about one of my best friends. And it is one of my best friends that was my best man in my wedding 40 years ago, and that was Ken Turner.
Mm.
and I had a picture of the Dixie Echoes standing at my wedding reception singing. If you can believe this. Wow. Sue Whitfield was at the piano playing, and we were all standing up singing, and here I'm singing for my own wedding reception.
Right.
So these are parts of my history and my past that I don't share with too many people, but this is something unusual for me. I'm going back looking and saying, wow, I did that. I really did that.
You probably got them to sing for much less than their flat, right?
Oh, yes, back then especially.
Yes, right.
No, but they were, they had taken, in fact, my wife made the comment. She said, you know, they really wanted you to sing with them bad for coming down and spending that time with you for your wedding.
Right.
I said, honey, those guys really loved me. Ken did. Ken was a friend, and he still is. I love Ken Turner. He is one of the most wonderful, gentle giants of a man I have known in all of my life. And you just got to know Ken and know his talents and his heart to appreciate him. He loves to entertain people. You'll never find anybody who loves people and loves to entertain them any more than Ken Turner does.
Wow. Well, it's been said so many times and so many times on this program, too, from quartet men especially, that, you know, when you do this thing, you've got to realize the sacrifices. When you get on a bus every weekend and travel.
It's true. It's very true. And not only just the bus, but traveling. I've been overseas. I took Ken with me to South Africa.
Yeah.
To the United Kingdom, which is, of course, Ireland, Scotland, England, and a lot of other places they've traveled. And I wouldn't take anything for those years. I know I've had some great times with Gaither over the past 15 years, but there were times before then that singing with Ken and with James Blackwood and those guys, I would not trade anything for
it. Right. So you decided to settle down, have a family, and so you, I guess you don't stop singing, but you maybe stop singing professionally and go into, as you say, pastoring. So you were a pastor of a church?
We pastored for quite some time, raised a family, and then we left that and moved to Fort Myers, Florida. Been living down here for a long time now.
Yeah.
This is where I basically raised the family, and we have 5 sons and 1 daughter. Now we have 7 grandchildren, and just lots of involvement here locally, church. We're not pastoring now, but we're very close to the ministries of our local church here, which is First Assembly of God. Did you hear that noise behind me there?
Just a little.
We live right next to the airport.
Oh, wow.
And we hear all the little jets and everything going out.
Yeah.
And they make noises, and I get distracted, to tell the truth. But anyway, the traveling was something that I stopped, but here at home I enjoyed very much with my where we are, where we live, churches, church people. This is where we did our most recent video called Home, Where I Belong. Mm. What an appropriate title, Daniel.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because it is home, and I think home is not just where the heart should be, but home is an identification of who we are and what we are, and I want people to know that. I remember this for years. I traveled. People would go out, and they would try to remain, how do I say this politely? They didn't want to identify with any particular church because they were afraid they wouldn't get invited to other churches. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And so they would maintain an religion. I don't want to say that. That's not the right word. They wanted to remain somewhere in the middle, you know.
Sure.
And I don't do that. Yeah. I just very abruptly say, this is where we are. This is our church. This is our family. This is what we've come from, and this is what the Lord has us doing today. And I appreciate that. I am appreciative of my heritage, my background, the denominational context that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I look back, and I'm very grateful for all of that. It has contributed to my music. It's contributed to my life, my marriage, my family, and I'm grateful for it. So we are home. This is home. We are a reflection of home.
Yeah, I cannot help of thinking of you anytime I think of Fort Myers, Florida. It's become synonymous, and you've been there so long, like you say. But where were you born?
I was born in West Texas.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an American child from way out there in the flat, high, dry West Plains of Texas. And I even make that statement on the video when I sing a song called An American Child by Phil Nash.
Yeah.
And we have the family up there singing with us, and we're having a ball. And let me tell you something. It was great. I have to tell you, Stephen Hill, Woody Wright, and Mark Lowry literally carried me through that night because my dad was in the hospital with a massive stroke, and those guys made my life possible that night.
Wow. Wow. It's good to have friends, but especially when you get together in that context and you're singing songs that are true and songs that have eternal hope and meaning, and you're singing, ministering to others, but at the same time, everybody on that stage is just as needy as people in the audience.
When Mark stood up and sang, "Home, going home, where I belong."
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Tell you what, make skin just crawl up on you.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied love has no limits, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of his infinite riches, exhausted our store of endurance, and our strength has failed ere the day is half done. We've come to the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto men.
We're talking to Larry Ford, and here's that Irish tenor sound now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days. Pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bounty
From the hills it descends to the plain and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Larry Ford, he's our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and Larry's story picks up here. Well, I know Ann Downing said that one of those first videos that Bill did, that you were there, and she said, "Let Larry sing this," or "Larry does this."
I was Daniel Britt, an uninvited guest to that meeting. Well, I say that right up front because what had happened was I was singing with James Blackwood, and having a ball doing it, but didn't intend on staying.
Yeah,
was going to help James and Ken and all the guys, my dear, dear friends, and ended up there. And so many people I saw in the room I knew, like Sue and George Yance and all those people. And I walked in and they were saying, "Hey, where have you been? Where are you singing with James? Come on in." And I didn't intend to stay. I just brought James because he'd had a stroke and we were looking out after him. We were watching our friend.
Right.
Making sure he could get through the day. And we had such a wonderful time with him that day. And during the time that we were there, what started out to be a recording session ended up being a time of prayer and praise. Dottie Ramo was there. They prayed for her and so many others. And Bill was playing this song, Little As Much, with God When God Is In It on the keyboard. And Ann piped up and said, "Hey, Bill, get Larry to sing that song." And Bill looked up and said, "Larry who?" And so I did not know him. As I say, I was an uninvited guest. I was sitting behind J.D., whom I had known for years, and James, and they turned around and said, "Get up there and sing now."
Yeah.
So I was obedient to my elders and got up and sang the song.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to his harvest. He's calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, for he'll not forsake his own. Are you late aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in his battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When this conflict here is ended, and our race on earth run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you will go in Jesus' name. There's a crown and you can win it if you will go in Jesus' name.
And the rest has been history, I tell you, because it's been good. It's been real good.
Yes, that's what you'd call it.
Well,
because I'm sitting here right now looking up at a collage of video VHS covers.
Yeah.
And it says Gaither Gospel Series.
Yeah.
Presented to Larry Ford in grateful appreciation for the contribution to the success of Gaither Homecoming Series. That was in 1991. Wow. This was 10 years to 2001, and here we've gone past that by almost another 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So being a part of that, the Grammy Award in 2003, all of those things, Daniel Britt, I did not go looking for.
Right.
It wasn't something I was pursuing. It was something God let us be a part of, and I am so flattered and grateful to be a part of it.
Well, I mean, Gloria says it all the time, God's in the interruptions, and I have held on to that because it's so true. And so what were you doing at that, in 91 there, you were with James?
91.
Were you still pastoring, or were you doing something a little bit different at that point?
I was living here locally.
Yeah.
Working in church ministries here in Fort Myers, and they called me and said, would you like to sing gospel music again? Daniel, this was my answer, and it wasn't an arrogant answer or anything. It was just my first answer. I said, no, I don't think so, guys. Home with the family, enjoying it. Well, they called me back a few weeks later and said, listen, could you help us for a little while? Rosie Roselle had gotten sick, and when they told me that, I said, I'll help him. I'll help you do anything I can, but I'm not staying.
Yeah.
Oh, what did I said? But I did stay.
Right.
And here we are in 2010.
Right.
And I'm still doing what are God's interruptions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, when you stand to sing, the voice that comes out, And we've been hearing the music throughout the show today already. I mean, people love this. I think of songs like even, I don't know if they get a lot of airplay outside of patriotic seasons, but like Let Freedom Ring that you did.
Still rings. My brother-in-law wrote that song, and it was a throwback to 2001.
Yeah.
9/11.
Yeah.
Just like any other day in the land of the free, the sun was shining bright from sea to shining sea.
Right.
Then suddenly the sky grew dark. Evil came on wings.
Mm.
It's really a poignant and powerful song that speaks to me because I remember where I was that day, as we most do.
Right, yeah.
And I'm proud to tell you that God had a hand in a lot of things that we did after those days of 2001. And again, we weren't just being opportunist. We were being grateful for what we were and who we are and who we would plan to remain. Freedom still rings, yes.
Just like any other day in the land of the free, the sun was shining bright from sea to shining sea. Suddenly the sky grew dark. Evil came on wings. Our faces echoed our hearts. Would freedom still ring? Make no mistake, freedom still rings. In the home of the brave, in the land of the free, towers may fall, but our hope still stands. It beats in our hearts, it's held in our hands. So I'll say, can you see? Make no mistake. Any other day in the home of the brave, fearless heroes gave their lives as they rushed to their graves. We watched the heroes die. Our eyes could not believe. They paid the price.
still stands. It beats in our hearts. It's held in our hands. So I'll say, can you see? Make no mistake, freedom still reigns. The shadow of death, though our eyes are filled with tears, though life be threatened, though evil arise, we will not bow to fear. Make no mistake, freedom still rings in the home of but our hope still stands. It beats in our hearts, and it's held in our hands. So I'll say, can you see? Make no mistake, freedom still
So you mentioned your brother. How many was in your family growing up?
Well, just me, my brother, and mom and dad. My brother sings in the opera. He
really?
Is a theater singer, mostly overseas.
Uh-huh.
And when I say that, it's, you know, the opera is not something that's terribly popular here in the United States, or at least it wasn't. It is now,
yeah,
more than it's ever been. But most of his performances were in England at Covent Garden, mm-hmm, and in Germany. And Milan, Italy, and I could keep going on and on and on. He has recorded numerous projects in multiple languages, including English.
Wow.
And that's our heritage. We go back.
Yeah.
I went to school planning on going into the theater, but did not.
Yeah.
From my beginnings, that took a change.
Yeah.
And here I am singing gospel. But that's where my church beginnings were.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm grateful for that.
And your sweet wife, and I know if you've seen the Best of Larry Ford DVDs that Gaither has put out, you know, it's a very warm setting there, and you get to know you and your wife. And, boy, you I have to tell you, you watch it, and, of course, you see Larry's heart, and, you know, he's the singer, he's got that talent. But you look at his wife, and you say, okay, where would any good man be without a strong woman? And there she
is. Oh,
you
got that right.
She keeps you straight, doesn't she?
Daniel, as I speak to you, she is in the front office right now dealing with the final touches on this latest video, Home Where I Belong.
Yeah.
And she's doing all of the artwork and the transfer of that, the planning of it,
wow,
the public file, paying all the royalties, the synchronizations. You don't know until you get into it just how much is involved in all this.
Man.
And she does it beautifully.
Yeah.
She is. And she keeps her sanity.
<That's right. laughs>
Boy, I wouldn't. She does so much that I just don't even think I could attempt to do.
Sure.
Well, I love the people. I love going out and meeting the people. And the singing is just a nice part of it, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But I'm serious when I say she does the behind the scenes things that make this ministry work. And when we leave here, she's going with me on Sunday. We leave here, we fly to Atlanta, and then we go directly, get on the bird, fly 17 and one half hours to Johannesburg, South Africa. We get a few days of rest, and we're going to be tourists, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And then we hit the road. We got 6 concerts lined up down there.
Mm.
And I get the D part is the people you get to sing with. because these are new folks. These are folks that I've never met before. Some of them I have, some I haven't. But there is a black choir mm-hmm. from Soweto, a black men's choir. Then we're going to do a three tenors thing in South Africa. And we're recording all this. We're going to get it on video. I'll bring it home and make it a part of something here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But I enjoy that. I'm taking her with me. She's going to go, and we're going to have a ball.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me on the cruel cross He suffered.
Okay, so the many adventures of Larry Ford. Do we are you using internet these days? I mean, you're using Twitter and Facebook and websites and all this type of stuff to keep people
and
involved.
In fact, as we're gone, we just bought some new equipment. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
To do the Facebook and the Twitter and some videos, we're going to be downloading and getting it all together. We will be sending home material from South Africa. It will mean that we'll have to wait. It's still not available in every area for high speed, but we wait till we get there,
yeah.
and we will upload it and send it home even before we get home.
Yeah.
So people can see it. Yes, the internet is there. I think the most recent thing that went up was my last time that I sang for the Boston Red Sox here.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
Go do the national anthem for them. They enjoy that. They are very, very kind to me here.
You know, gospel music, the voices in gospel music, I'm partial. Okay, I'll admit it. But mm-hmm. I think the gospel music just has some of the best voices in our country and maybe in the world. And so I get so excited when our artists like you are out there singing for these very kind of, in a way, secular events, because I'm thinking, wow, maybe it's going to get somebody's attention and then we'll hook them with the gospel, you know?
Daniel, let me tell you something. If people ever hear gospel voices, they immediately just lock onto it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why, because it's a blessed thing. It's a God thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that about me necessarily. I'm saying that because when I listen to the pop music today, some of it I like, not all of it.
Yeah.
When I listen to the music that even gets into the marketplace, I'm saying, man, I know a guy that can do that. Phew! Man, and gospel music can just step all over it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not being rude or arrogant. It's just that some of the greatest voices in gospel music are in gospel music.
Right, right.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
With numberless blessings, each moment he crowns and fills with his goodness divine. I sing in my rapture, glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine.
He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land.
And clothed in his likeness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I will shout with a
How can we keep up with you? You mentioned all the ways. I mean, you have Larry Ford website.
Oh, yeah. It's in fact, since 1995, we started out with the web.
Wow.
Was when it started, and we had our first website. A guy was doing all of the arrangements for it in Northern Ireland, if you can believe that. He was a very, very knowledgeable gentleman who worked with what was called the Royal Ulster Constabulary. He was a internet policeman in Northern Ireland.
Wow.
And was doing all the things for that government there and was helping us to build our website during the time.
My goodness.
So he kept us moving in the right direction, kept it clean for us and unobtrusive or whatever, you know. Sure. He just did a great job. His name was Alex McWilliams, and Alex did a great job doing that. And it's LarryFord.com and has been since 1995.
Wow, that's one of the longest-running websites I've heard of, you know.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, man.
And it's all taken care of here in the United States now, but
sure.
We are blessed to still have LarryFord.com since that time. And peripherally to that is all of the Twitter and the websites and the...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't even... Cheryl handles it all. I don't know what to do with it. They just put me in front of a keyboard or tell me to do some video. I can do the video work, but I don't know any of that other stuff.
Right. Well, we'll be sure to keep up with you, and depending on when this people are hearing this, you may be in South Africa at this moment.
Oh, I know I will.
And yeah, exactly. And so check that out for updates and up-to-the-minute stuff there, LarryFord.com.
Yep, and in South Africa. Then from there, I come home, and I'm be heading up to Canada, to Newfoundland.
Oh, good.
Yeah, way up into the northern country.
Ah. Well, a lot of people in Canada are listening right now, too, so we'll be sure to, you know, check
That's
the
great.
Schedule. And are you available if churches want to bring you in? Have you sing?
If they call, you know, we're not necessarily pursuing a lot of things, but when people call, I find it very difficult to say no.
Sure.
I went out to Mississippi to a little church in nowhere near Laurel. It was north of Laurel, Mississippi. And when I got there, I had no idea what to expect, and I found this little Methodist church that probably seated no more than about 30 or 40 people, and it was jam full.
And you had
and
a good time.
I sang a Sunday morning concert there. They invited me. I said, yeah, we'll do it. Need to make sure we cover the expenses by doing some other churches, but I never heard of them.
Yeah,
they called.
Yeah.
My wife says, can't you ever learn to say no? No, I can't.
Well, that's what makes you Larry Ford. And, man, we're happy you've been in the right places at the right time. God's used you, and we can, I mean.
It's a God thing, Daniel.
It is. It really is.
I can't say it any other way. When people say, we appreciate it, we like the voice, we like this, we like that, I look them right back in the eye and say, you know, I'm glad to be a part of it, but it's a God thing.
Absolutely. Hey, Larry, thanks for taking time for us today, man, and we're cheerleading you on because I love your sound, and we're going to keep playing the music, okay?
Thank you, sir. God bless.
I've traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I worked so hard for Jesus, I oft could boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk this narrow way. I gave up faith.
Larry Ford, what a guy, what a voice, what a story, and his work will continue, and pray for him and his travels, and you can keep up with him at LarryFord.com. Hey, we'll see you here next week.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at DanielBritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.